I am an uncommon church builder. I am Leading Second.
Hey everyone, I'm Brandon Stewart, and welcome back to the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders that our pastors would absolutely kill to have on the team. Well, I am so excited you're here today, so excited you are listening to today's episode. Today's interview is one you are absolutely going to love. Can't wait to get to it today. Today we're going to talk to the creative team behind the Leading Second brand, Yellow Box Creative. I couldn't wait to have this conversation, and I believe it's going to be fun and something that's also going to help you in your own leadership journey. So welcome to the podcast today, wherever you're listening from. So honored that you're here, and I hope you're enjoying season one. I hope that you're taking it all in. We've done our best to bring to you some conversations we believe we all need to be having. And we're planning to run season one for a few more weeks and have some big conversations still to come. So I pray that you're sharing this with your team and sharing this with your friends, going back and listening to episodes maybe you haven't had a chance to listen to yet. Thanks for all of you who have shared and subscribed. Man, we just count it an honor to get to have a voice into your world every single week. Before we get into today's episode, I do have an announcement to make, and that is today, if you're listening to this on release day anyway, today is our final day to sign up for fall coaching groups through Leading Second. Coaching groups are some of the great love of my life, and I love spending a few weeks with leaders to talk about increasing capacity. One of my earliest and greatest mentors taught me a few things that shaped my life, and I'm doing my part now to pass this on. And if you'd like to join a group and you're listening in time, you could still sneak your application in. I'll even take it a couple days late. Don't tell anybody. But we would love to have you in a fall coaching group. If you're listening to this later, we do coaching groups 2 to 3 times a year, and we would love to have you in a group. So make sure and stay tuned to all we're offering there. And I just would count it the honor of a lifetime to get to spend a few weeks with you and coach you. Well, every week also on the podcast here, we take a question from a listener of the Leading Second podcast, who is also a member of the Leading Second forum on Facebook or follows us on social media. And we love hearing your questions. Keep sending them in. And today we have a great one from a podcast listener. So let's check out this question.
Hello, this is Vincent from Virginia. I first just want to thank the entire Leading Second crew. The content that you are providing has been golden, personally has blessed my life and my leadership development. My question for you is, I have originally been in the second chair and leading, and then had to take a season and step back from the high capacity leading in the second chair to take care of myself. I had to go through some personal healing and some soul care. But now I'm stepping back into that leadership position and getting ready to sit back in that second chair. And I want to know what advice you would give someone like myself who is transitioning back, not into the same leadership capacity and the same role, but getting ready to go back into leadership overall and sit in a second chair that wasn't originally what I'm used to. Again, thank you so much for your content, and I look forward to hearing your advice.
Well, first of all, Vincent, thank you for your question, and thank you for your honesty. That's exactly the kind of place that I prayed Leading Second would become, would be a place that we could talk about real stuff, honest stuff. And so thank you for sending it in, and congratulations on a new season. I'm excited for you. You have the chance, as you're re-entering ministry, to do something significant, and that is re-enter totally differently than when you left. In other words, your past is gone. God's mercy is new for you. His grace has covered you, and your pastor or your direct report has obviously made a way for you to re-enter fresh. And I just first of all wanted to encourage you today, maximize your moment. We don't get those moments very often to just push the reset button and say, I'm going to start in a brand new way. And I would just encourage you to own the moment and to not let the old voices of shame or guilt or mistakes or anything that may have happened in the past to invade this new season. God's mercy is new. So let your mind be new and your spirit be new as you head into a new season. I would like to refer you to a book, and to anyone listening today, a book that is not necessarily brand new, but one I've been diving into again a bit recently by Patrick Lencioni called The Ideal Team Player. And I just think if you're going to re-enter ministry, Vincent, that you have the opportunity to be the ideal team player. And in it, Patrick Lencioni brilliantly unpacks the three characteristics of the ideal team player: humble, hungry, and smart. And I'll let you dive into the book to unpack those more. I can't think of one I would prefer in a team member over the other, but I do agree with his assessment that all three are vital. So maximize your moment, own the day. Congratulations. God's mercy is new for you every day. And I really believe you can be the kind of team member that every pastor would kill to have on the team. And you can be the kind of leader that others want to follow that reproduces good things into the life of your entire team. So congratulations, Vincent. If you have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the podcast, I'd encourage you to either join the Leading Second Forum on Facebook and send us a message there, or send us a message through social media or at leadingsecond@churchforward.co. And we would love to feature your question on a future episode of the podcast. All right. So without further ado, I'm so excited to introduce you today to one of our strategic partners here at Leading Second, and that is Yellow Box Creative. Yellow Box is actually the group behind the creative design and strategy of Leading Second, and Lindsay and I absolutely loved working with them. We met them in early 2017 and just really feel like we met kingdom partners. They provide creative services to churches and ministries, and I'd encourage any pastor or church planter who needs creative services to check them out. And today, our conversation is going to center around this idea, bringing the vision to life. If there's one thing this team is good at and one thing that all of us do on a regular basis for our pastors and that we need to be good at, it's interpreting our pastors and bringing the vision that's in their heart to reality. And we're going to talk about that today. I recorded this interview a little bit ago, and I'm excited to bring it to you today. So here we go. Let's do this. Yellow Box Creative. All right. Well, I'm joined here today with the team from Yellow Box Creative. Say what's up to everybody, guys.
Yo.
Hey, first of all, I just have to say, before we get going today, we love you guys so much. We absolutely loved working with you all on the launch and the look of Leading Second. And of course, we're going to continue to do a lot of things together. And so I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for joining us, and thank you for being in our world. Thank you for loving our baby like it was yours. We felt the love, and absolutely loved partnering with you guys for this project. I do want to introduce kind of who we're talking to today. First of all, we have Kevin Daughtry, who is the operations director for Yellow Box. Say what's up to everybody, Kevin.
What's up? How's it going?
Kevin is the man, and I think what's even more famous than Kevin is Kevin's beard.
That's truth.
So
facts. Facts right there.
We love both Kevin and his beard. Next, Trace Garner, who is the art director for Yellow Box.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We love you, Trace. And we affectionately have dubbed Trace as Brand Mom, because he gives birth to brands.
Yes, this is good.
And because he has to call the shots about the brand like mom, which included telling us no a bunch of times.
Yeah,
that's true.
And
it breaks my heart, really.
We love you. We know we love you, Brand Mom. All right, and I'm also joined here today by Ceci Castellanos, who is one of the designers at Yellow Box.
Hey, guys.
And Ceci, you've had a really big hand in both the Leading Second and the Team Church brand.
Yes,
that we
did
over the last year or so together. And I am a huge fan. I'll even share it a little more later, but I'm a huge fan of your work. I love what you do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for jumping on here with us a bit today. I want to make a note about this episode, too, that this episode is not just for creatives. So if you had if you were tempted to tune out on this today because you saw the word creative in the title, you need not. We're going to talk about something today that I believe that we all deal with as leaders that serve on teams, you know, that serve in churches, and that's the idea of bringing the vision to life. And I want to get started with that actually today with you guys. One of the things that you all do so well at Yellow Box that I love about you is that you interpret your clients and you bring their vision to life. I mean, we've mentioned that you did the creative work with Leading Second and also with Team Church, and I absolutely loved your work. But in reality, this is the job of every second chair leader everywhere, is to bring someone else's vision to life, yet many people struggle with it. So I'm just going to lob out an opening question here, and we're going to have a conversation. But why do we as leaders struggle to bring other people's ideas to life? I mean, what is the challenge and the wrestle when it comes to being tasked with bringing someone else's vision to life?
That's a great question. Yeah, I would say that it's really tough because people are very individual and they have their own preferences of themselves and their own kind of aesthetic preferences and their own ideas. And so whenever a complicated person that maybe isn't so practiced at articulating their thoughts kind of comes into the room and tries to portray that, it's just, you know, things can get a little muddied. So yeah, it just becomes really hard to kind of nail down exactly what the client or the leader or the friend is trying to say. Yeah, I think it's just because of the individuality of everybody.
I think that in any kind of creative realm or leadership realm, when you have an idea or you have a vision, you have a design, you have this concept, you desire to see it come to life and you kind of take ownership over it as your baby. And it takes a lot of humbleness to be willing to look past what you've created to decide whether this could be something bigger than yourself. And I think that applies to leadership across the board, not just for creative, but for people in pastoral. I was a family pastor, a youth pastor, a young adult pastor, you know, all around veteran of ministry that survived 25 years of ministry without losing my faith. And I think one reason that successful ministers survive is because they are willing to look past their own ideas at the greater good.
Yeah, that's right. It's so well said. And, you know, one thing I loved in working with you guys is I really felt like with Leading Second, you treated this project like it was your baby, like it was your favorite. And I'd like to believe it was your favorite of all time ever. There's no one ever been more favorite than Leading Second in the Yellow Box world, I'm sure. But in reality, that's probably not the case. And yet I felt that. I felt like, man, these guys love my baby like it's your own or like it's their own. That these guys love my baby like it's their own. And don't you think that's kind of an important quality? I just love the ownership that you guys gave to this project. And don't you feel ownership goes a long way when it comes to bringing someone else's vision to life?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a huge deal, Brandon. Yeah, that's a great point. That was something that is kind of, I guess, well practiced among our team. As we kind of try to serve whoever we are, we really try to get in their shoes, get in their head, ask the right questions, and then kind of lose ourselves in order to understand them a little bit better. I think that's immensely important into making the right decisions and then also not necessarily, you know, getting offended or hurt. but using your knowledge and your wisdom to make the decisions and not your feelings. And I think it's a really safe place to dabble in.
As a designer, I tend to bond with every project that I get. And that's just me loving the brand, like if it was for myself, as you mentioned, being able to work around that and have a vision for that brand and make it look and feel as something that I love to present to the client so that they love it as well.
And I, Ceci, wouldn't you say that when you treat it that way, that you probably do better work in the process? I mean, you probably have more creative ideas because you apply that sense of ownership.
Oh, for sure. Easy. I kind of want to own Leading Second now because I love it so much.
Well, we make you own it whether you want to or not. So it's now forever yours. Well, let's talk though about this idea. What do you do when maybe your idea doesn't get used in a project? So funny thing happened, a little behind the scenes conversation here. Funny thing happened when you all were presenting the Leading Second brand to us. Lindsay and I flew down to Houston and spent the day with you. And you actually presented two fully developed concepts. And I loved looking at both of them. And one of them was absolutely us. It nailed us. It totally translated what was in our hearts. The other was exceptional work. It just wasn't totally us. And the funny thing about that option was that, Ceci, you actually had a personal element in that. You had a font included in there that you actually developed, which, first of all, I just have the highest respect for anyone that knows how to develop a font out of their own handwriting, by the way, because I in no way, shape, or form could ever do that in my life. That is not a skill that I possess. So that was the day I became a Ceci fan, by the way, was when I saw your work on that. So you had a very personal element in that brand. And then funny thing was, we loved that element, but we ended up not going with that option. And, you know, you may not have even cared on that day, but to me, it illustrated the position that actually a lot of us get into. And that's when the group decides to go with an idea that wasn't ours, or when the project takes a turn away from our preference. And I'm sure you guys find yourself in that position. So what do you do in those situations when your great idea isn't the one that gets used, you know? How do you navigate that?
Oh, first off, I don't take it personal in any way. That's what happens in a creative world when you bond with two different brand directions and you add in your own flavor to each. So for the second one, me being able to write my own typeface or create this sans Ceci, as you call, that was just me adding a personal touch, but I don't get a personal, like, negative feeling for not picking it. And I'm happy that it was your favorite thing, and I will use it eventually for you.
Yeah. I think that really illustrates kind of what she said earlier too, about, like, she, you know, took a step into that design direction and kind of added her little flavor, and it really supported the brand. It wasn't just something that she thought was cool. There was a lot of kind of hand done elements to the whole option, and it really added a ton of character to it. And that's, I think that just leads to, like, a bigger topic, which is just understanding the overall vision and the overall, in this scenario, the overall, like, creative direction and art direction of the piece, and adding to that. And I think that's just really strong, and she did really great.
Well, but I think there's something else that happens on teams, though. I mean, something a bit different. And that's when the idea moves away from your idea. And, you know, Ceci, in this case, you know, has just an amazing and the right perspective on it, with just, I put myself personally into that, but, you know, it wasn't the direction that we went with. But some people actually allow that to be a moment of offense or a moment of hurt. And then that further taints any work from that point on. And so, you know, of course, that was in no way, shape, or form our experience. Our experience was awesome and life-giving. And yet, I know for personally, I found myself in moments where I got offended you know, and I got hurt a bit. And that can really damage future creative work when you allow yourself to kind of get into that unhealthy space. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It does. Yeah. I think that just, yeah, there's a lot of things that kind of touch on there. I think the big vision of Leading Second really resonated with everybody. And that's what we tried to honor. And that's what we tried to work towards in this piece. And so, yeah, you know, I found myself being offended, and I usually later realize that there's probably a bigger issue underlying all that is. But ultimately, whenever the bigger idea is kind of understood by everyone, you can be like, man, that was a really good idea. Okay, I'm going to use it for the next one. And you're just like, okay, that maybe isn't totally for this round. Maybe this is something that we use for something else. And that's just kind of the way we have to look at it. It's also whenever you kind of in your personal relationships with the team, Ceci and I are really great friends. And so mm-hmm. I think like seeing, knowing her personality, knowing her work ethic. And so whenever something like this happens, I mean, she did a lot of the work for the Leading Second direction that got chosen, the brand, and it's incredible. And it was exciting to kind of cheer those things on. And so that definitely helped, is kind of having those like really great friendships within the team.
I think that collaboration is the foundational element that helps us benefit from what we're experiencing here, what we're talking about here. And for us at Yellow Box, collaboration is kind of a key element of our culture.
Yeah, that's good.
And if you think about that from a church perspective, I was at ministries that were healthy and I was at ministries that were not healthy. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed recurring again and again in situations where it was an unhealthy culture is that everybody's trying to climb a ladder to get to the top, and they're going to do so at the expense of everyone else around them.
Wow.
And that's not the way the kingdom of God is designed to operate.
Yes,
and so while
that's right.
We're not a church, we're a creative agency, we try to take those principles and apply them to the way that our team is built. And if we come to the table knowing no one's at risk, no one's going to be a rung on a ladder for someone else to climb on, we're all in this journey together, then collaboration becomes much more of a reality.
Mm. That's so well said. And which leads me to actually something I wanted to ask you, Kevin. How do you, you know, you're one of the leads of, you know, this group and this agency. How do you foster an environment and a workplace where great creative ideas can come out of and great collaboration can happen? I mean, how do we, maybe all of you guys could talk about it. How do we create the environment that every creative would give their right arm to work in and be a part of?
Well, I think understanding the creative process, I mean, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. I think understanding the creative process, and it also could apply to organizational process. It doesn't just have to be creative. But being a leader that is not afraid for someone to question their decisions, to ask questions, to push back. Now, I'm not talking about dishonorably. I'm talking about genuinely.
Yep.
Hey, maybe what if we try it from this angle? Because if you surround yourself with people who think just like you, then you end up with the same weaknesses and the same strengths. But you may not see things from the different angle which diversity brings to the table. And I'm not necessarily talking about diversity on a general scale. I'm talking about diversity in leadership strengths and what people bring to the table, their personalities, the angles they see things from. And so I think that if you're willing to let your team challenge your decision, then they in turn help move the culture forward beyond what you would be capable of doing on your own.
Right.
So well said. So well said.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the idea of building this environment, I think in the professional world, kind of sometimes looks like, okay, we got to make sure that we're in the really cool industrial building with exposed brick, and we got to have the foosball table and the ping pong table, and we got to make sure that we have the food trucks catering and all this different stuff like that. And this environment, now, given if you can have all of those things, that's going to be pretty sick, and you're probably gonna, you know. However, the environment that really is going to, I think, that absolutely make or breaks the space is the relationships. I'm going to keep saying it: the relationships between everybody, being welcome and interested, and being vulnerable is a big deal. And having empathy towards each other. Yeah. And I think whenever you kind of take that first step into saying like, hey, this is what we think, and then also saying these are what my concerns are, whether that be in a project or in leadership or in responsibilities, I think that that's a huge step to take forward. And then the outings and the ping pong tables and the exposed brick is all a little extra that, you know, gets cool on the Instagram. But besides that, I think it's just really opening up with each other and coming at it from honor.
Well, and speaking of relationships, you guys were mentioning before we started recording today, you all recently had taken an outing as a team just to foster relationships. And Ceci, maybe I'm coming your way on this, but describe how relationships outside of the office, you know, have been fostered that have really helped this team win while you're in the office. You know, how, what have you done, including that outing, just to keep those relationships, I guess, really healthy and strong?
Let me start off by saying when I first joined Yellow Bugs, I wasn't expecting to have this strong relationship with these team members. I walked in thinking, I'm just gonna design, work with these people. They have a ping pong table. Hey, that's cool. But now I genuinely hang out with these people. Like Trey said, me and him are friends. We get along. We work together to make these awesome brands. And being able to have that relationship with your coworkers is amazing. And so being able to get out and be inspired, not just by design, but by
each other
and taking a break from the screen and going out and sitting in the park or going to see an architectural space and talk about life, talk about self-love and being able to talk about these things that make you better as a person, and you find that to be a great bond with your coworker.
Yeah. Yeah, something that was really interesting about our group, the group outing, was hearing everybody kind of open up. We got to go see to the James Turrell Light Space at Rice University. There's this incredible structure that the sun sets on, and the lighting from the sculpture and architectural space lights up this with the sunset. It's an incredibly beautiful experience. But outside of our traditional creative space, and afterwards, like Ceci mentioned, we went and got coffee, and the conversation instantly became kind of turned to, what do you do for rest? What do you do for inspiration? What do you do? How important is it to make sure that you're spiritually, mentally, physically, good? Because whenever all those things are in line, not only are you able to obviously work with other people better, but you're able to be kind of inspired a little bit better because you're looking for the joy and the love and all these other positive things that you've decided you'll let yourself have and you'll have with God that you'll have and be inspired by. So it's kind of these channels get opened up whenever you have these honest conversations with people and you allow yourself to kind of connect in that way.
And that's very well said, and it leads me to probably the final thing I wanted to talk with you all about today, and that's simply the idea of diversity. So one of the things that I so love about your office is that it's incredibly diverse. The people that work there, and that's everywhere from, you know, ethnicity to faith expression to age to background. It's a culture. Lindsay and I love coming and bothering you guys and hanging out with you and spending time there. And, you know, yet many of you, I'm sure, come from different backgrounds. I love Ceci. You know, you said earlier you kind of showed up for a job, but you realized you found a family.
Yep.
You know, in the process, that's huge. And how have you fostered an environment that values diversity, that values everyone's unique perspective that they're bringing to the table. And I'm talking life, faith, mm-hmm. all of it.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to also start this by honoring Kevin and the leadership at Yellow Box, for real. I think that it definitely starts from the top and kind of trickles down as leadership should. And I think Kevin and the leaders at Yellow Box do a great job at, again, coming at the team as people and interested and open to new ideas. And I think that was obvious for me when I started working at Yellow Box over 3 years ago, and it's still something that we carry now. So that's huge, is the leadership really does want new ideas. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Kevin has a way, and all the other leaders here have a way of making me feel comfortable in my workplace. Mm-hmm. And that's important. I never want to feel like I can't do something when I'm in here.
Right.
I feel like I can do everything.
Right.
And I have this creative bubble that I'm living in with my coworkers, and bouncing ideas back and forth, and having Kevin overlook and supporting us in every mm-hmm. way. He's never saying, oh, don't do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. He gives us the freedom, and it's refreshing to have that in a workplace.
Yeah, for sure. And everyone brings, whether of, you know, different backgrounds or ethnicities, they always bring their own kind of personal touch to everything, and that should be welcomed. It is welcomed. And also, I think just really great conversation that can be honest, that can be about the difficult kind of difficult topics, but staying respectful and just kind of interested to learn more. Yeah.
Love it. Okay, now for my real last question, and then we'll wrap this up, I promise. What do you guys love most about bringing a new brand to life? Like the day, I remember when we did our launch event for Leading Second, just incredibly fun to see it finally live and breathe. And I'm sure for every brand has a different moment where that happens. But what excites you the most about seeing a new brand that you've worked on come to life?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, like you kind of mentioned, there's something specific to every brand, each piece. Sometimes there's a digital aspect that you kind of design screens for a few months, and then you finally see them on the webpage or in an app. So that's kind of the one single touch point that you have. Sometimes there's really great print deliverables. I think that's something that always happens that's incredibly exciting for myself personally is, in this case, it was, you know, your face whenever we presented the options. And every client that we get to present the work to, I think the face that they're like, wow, yeah, I didn't think good. Of that. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, that and that's kind of their eyes being, you know, them being opened up and kind of them being like this brand being revealed to them. It's huge. And I think that's kind of like the first touch point for the brand is like, you know, it went from the mind and hard work and preparation of the client or the leader. And then it comes to came to inside of our office and then kind of handing it back to them. And they're like, what, you made this? This is what? Wow. I think that's just really, really incredible.
Yeah. For us, it was kind of like seeing the ultrasound for the first time, you know, and because it wasn't living yet, but we saw mm-hmm. its first picture mm-hmm. and I know we weren't supposed to, but we showed it to a lot of people. Just
well, you're proud of it.
You told us not to, and we totally didn't listen to you.
And that's where brand mom came from, because
our baby was now the most beautiful baby in the world, you know. But yeah, that resonates with me. That was a very special moment for Lindsay and I, for sure.
Well, for me, I think it would be, I'm always nervous because I'm like, you know, I'm bringing these clients and these organizations to the table to help bring their vision to life. And so I understand the gravity of what we're about to do. And so when we're presenting it to them, even though our team is amazing, I've never seen bad work from our team. So it's not a lack of trust in our team. It's just the nervousness of seeing this gravity of this decision be presented. And then, you know, I always walk away from those meetings going, shoo, like, that was awesome. We did it. You know, I'm like, hey.
All right, guys.
All right.
High fives.
But for me, I think my favorite piece is we work with a lot of churches and a lot of church plants. And honestly, I was going through the ARC process to plant myself before we decided to do this. And the deciding factor was, man, I could do this one time for me, or we could do it multiple times over for people all over. And that became a really resounding passion stance for me personally. And so getting to go to these church launches on their first day and be a part of it and see the work that our team has done to help bring this vision to life, it's much bigger than, oh, cool, we did a project. It's like realizing all the lives that are going to be touched by what you had a part in. And that's really satisfying to see. And you just feel like, all right, man, I can do this again. No matter how much work it takes, how many late nights, whatever we need to do, I love this because at the end of the day, it is bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. So good. Ceci, any final words from you?
Yes. One small thing that excites me about a brand launch is social media. I know it's just, oh, Instagram or Twitter, but that's a big deal and it's exciting because you're sharing it with the world for the first time. Mm-hmm. And those first 9 posts that Leading Second posted, it was great. And it was nice to see that on a feed and knowing that you worked on that and you're helping them bring their vision to life and people are noticing is exciting, and it always is great.
Yeah, I remember sitting with you doing all those posts that morning.
Yeah, and I was really excited. You probably were, like, couldn't tell, but inside I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening, and it's great.
I was just amazed at how you type on a phone with your
notes.
Oh, my God.
I was mesmerized by it.
Fun fact, those are real nails.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Those are real.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hey, I just have to say it again. We love you guys so much. Thank you for what you do for others. Thank you for, you know, bringing people's, you know, visions to life. And it's very selfless work. And you turn the keys over to someone else and they drive off and you're on to the next. But just know from Lindsay and I and from others that we know that have worked with you, it makes a big difference. So thank you guys so much. We love you.
Guys. Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
If this podcast has resonated with you today, we would love to hear from you. I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, to leave a rating or a comment, and even consider sharing the podcast with someone in your world. We would consider it the honor of a lifetime to have a voice into their leadership every single week. Also, I want to encourage you to head to leadingsecond.com and sneak in your application for a fall coaching group. We would love to have you. Few spaces available. It's going to be a great season as we stretch ourselves and increase our personal capacity. Well, until next time, Leading Second, we love you. I pray today has helped you in some manner. I just want you to know today that we're praying for you. We're cheering you on. Let's run strong for the kingdom and let's lead in an uncommon way together.